All right. You said it to me, and I love it when I get a chance to start off the podcast and throw it back to you, but you said something to me that made me like just kind of like have this moment where at first I was like, ah, and then I started thinking about it, right? And then it just dawned on me. Like, how many times in history, in sports history, Mark, can we look back and say, not only is that a good defender, but that's a great offensive player as well. And it doesn't matter what sport it is, there's not many that you can say on both ends, much less if you talk about duos, two guys that can do it at the same-ish position, right? It makes you kind of think, starts wondering, like, how many times, and we're all talking hypothetically, Mark, right? Like, if Shea, if J-Dub get to the max level, what are we looking at? What type of duo do you see in them?
Oh, I mean, you have to start looking at different sports, because there's not really many comparable situations. But I like to think about the situation of like Roger Mantle, Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. So Mickey Mantle,
yes,
was, I think he was an MVP before, you know, several times or something like that. And then here comes Roger Maris and he hits right behind Mantle and he gets a chance to crank 61 home runs. And like, why? Why? Because people were still afraid, more afraid of Mickey Mantle than they were Roger Maris. So they had a game plan against it and it set him up to have a record season. And they're still more afraid of Mickey Mantle than they were Roger Maris. And I look at it like teams are going to be game planning for Shea. He's kind of our Mickey Mantle. And Roger Maris here would be a J-Dub. Sure. Now, this is going to be for a career. This is going to be for a long-term thing. So the analogy starts to break down. But the idea that you could have two players who could have that much offensive firepower where you're giving the second best player who can go out there and do anything, right? You're giving him opportunities because you're like, well, we got to pick one. So teams are going to pick, hey, we got to stop Shea. We got to stop Shea no matter what. And that's going to give J-Dub opportunities. Those opportunities we see against the Mavericks, like we saw some really cool stuff. But offensively, yeah, it's the dunks, it's the threes, it's that mid-range game. But then defensively, there were two really impactful plays. That big block he had against Kyrie after the turnover, and then another block in transition. I forget who it was against, but you know, two defensive blocks in transition for J-Dub, and you see him like rising to the moment. The combo reminds me like Shaq and Kobe a little bit, but Shaq and Kobe, you know, different positions and they could work off of each other in different ways. So it doesn't really work, but it would be like if you had like Kobe and Mike. If you put Kobe and Mike on the same team, what do you think would happen? Well, like they'd lift each other up and up and up and up and up. And it wouldn't necessarily be the situation where, you know, well, the big man needs the ball in the post. And so there's this contrast. It's kind of like, you know, I'll play off of you, you play off of me. We'll set screens for each other. We'll work in different things. And really what we saw for J-Dub, what we saw for Shea, I'll go down the list, you know, Dort and Giddey. I mean, just the amount of high level play. There's a reason this team is in first place and it doesn't come down to just one player because we've seen Shea do this before, not quite this level on defense, but we've seen him put up 30 a game, right? That doesn't translate into first place in the West on its own. What it takes is an entire team that's locked in. And we missed Dub the other night. He comes back this game and you see how much Shea depends on him. When things get rough, you know, he's a safety blanket. Here, you finish off the play. You know, I've already drawn three eyes, three sets of hands. I can do anything I want, but at some point, you got to have that Steve Kerr. You got to have that Robert Ory. You got to have that outlet that you just trust and they can hit big shots. And you see that trust. It's very apparent.
Kind of give you guys a kind of what I would consider some of our greatest duos in NBA history. Let's just start recently, guys, so you guys can kind of understand where Mark and I are pulling our information with. Steph and Clay, right, guys? They're the most recent duo that I would say that is terrorizing the NBA. You've also got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James of recent time. I think that is a hell of an idea to think that these two guys, two of the 75 greatest players, were able to team up. And I'm hoping our guys get to that level. You know what I'm saying? But then after that, it kind of gets a little shady because you have this time frame in the 70s and 80s where it was big man and a guard, you know, right. Magic, Kareem, You had, you know, 90s, 2000s, you had Shaq and Kobe. You had Tim Duncan and Tony, right? Stockton Malone. You had Gary Payton and Kemp. You had Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. You had Larry Bird and John.
Joe Dumars was what? Like,
you know, then you go further back. Yeah. So maybe so you got another guard duo right there. But then you go further back, and then you start looking at like guys like, I mean, Wilton and George Lucas. You got John Havlicek.
Jerry West and Wilt for the Lakers.
Jerry West, yeah. Wilt. Yeah, Jerry West and Wilt. And then you have, I mean, again, you can look back at the history of the game and you can find duos that are like, hey, that duo is fun to watch, right? But most of the duos have two big guys, right? Like Mikhail and Bird, right? Two forwards. Or Magic and Kareem. Like you have these guys that like, you know, are big guy and a guard, you know, like it's not like anything else we've seen in the history where we have two guys that play a point guard position that can dominate their position. And a lot of people are starting to say in the media, like this is the closest we've seen young players be to Michael and Scotty since Michael and Scotty. And it's starting to like start understanding like what these two guys can do, because Jada plays that hybrid forward guard. And if Scottie Pippen played in today's game, that's what he would be playing as well. He played that forward, hybrid forward guard, you know? Michael has that point guard / shooting guard mentality, you know, like same as Jada. And they have this idea that these two guys could be a young version reincarnated of two of the greatest duo, in my opinion, of all time. You got to stop and think about it. Like, is what's happening in Oklahoma City for real? And if it is, like we are saying it is, then at what point does this duo stop as being a top 10, top 5, top 3, top duo of all time? At what point do we stop at that time?
Well, okay, so listening to Stan Van Gundy talk last night, it was fun. And, you know, he made some good points about the Thunder. He's like, you know, when you think young team, you think bad at defense. When you think young team, you think poor shot quality. When you think young team, you think undisciplined offense, high turnover rates, all these different things, right? But with the Thunder, it's none of those things, and they're young. So why is it that we still attach young team expectations to their playoffs? You know, we heard Paul Pierce talking to Kevin Garnett about the Thunder. And Paul Pierce is like, well, we haven't seen how they respond when the lights are bright. And I get that. It's like, okay, sure. But in the end, you don't get any bonus points about waiting until a team goes out and does it before you say, oh, now I believe they can do it. You know, KG was sitting there saying they're ready now. They don't want to wait their turn. Like they're cold now. They're ready to go out and win now. And we're giving all this credit to teams who have players who have won championships in the past, but they're in like the 7, 8, 9 seed right now. And it's like, why are we giving them more credit than we're giving the Thunder? Well, they performed when the lights are brightest. But as if the Thunder haven't stepped up and exceeded expectations, and now we're not taking team's best punch, and we're not actually. It's this idea that we just wait. We just wait until the team prove themselves. That's when you find yourself one day looking at a team that's elite in all the ways, and you're still not giving them the opportunity, and they come in and they seize it, and they make it so people go like, I was waiting to pay attention to this team, and you waited too long. You waited too long because now what happens when you jump on when a team's already made it to the finals, when they've already won a championship, you're called a bandwagon fan. Even if you're from Oklahoma City, even if you fell in love with the previous generations, if you wait too long, then you'll be a bandwagon fan with this team. And there are a lot of bandwagon pundits out there who are sitting there just saying like, wait a little bit longer and you're going to miss this team because this team is going some places, bro. And they're not waiting their turn.
It's this idea that the killer instinct doesn't fade. All right. Like when we talk about teams that we see in the NBA, like where the success line is going to happen and stuff like that, we take it very seriously. The last 30 games of the season and the killer instinct that each team brings. And we look at the Thunder and every year, the last 30 games of the season, they bring it. All right. And I look at this right now, what's where we're going through right now with the Thunder, and we're seeing this, like they're stepping up in really big games and games that we have to win. They're stepping up and games that, you know, it's weird because we're phasing out on games that we should win, you know, and that's not a a bad thing. It's just one of those things where when we're playing and it's, if it's switched around, right? That's the thing. If it's switched around, if we're beating really good teams or really bad teams by, you know, a little and losing to good teams, we're in trouble. Now we're beating good teams and losing to bad teams. It's not that we're lacking a killer instinct at this moment. It's the fact that the killer instinct is a different role. The different role that these guys are having to play in the killer instinct is finishing. Now, why do we think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be able to take it off in the playoffs? It's because they've shown over and over and over again that killer instinct in finishing games. Finishing games when they matter the most, right? That's the key. When this team is up against the ropes, this team plays really, really well. And if you look at our record against contenders this year, right? We have to be a top in the NBA. We have to be the number one team in the NBA against other contenders because we step up at the right time. And it's because that killer instinct. So if somebody like Paul Pierce is saying they don't got the killer instinct, I understand, Paul. But guess what? You didn't have that killer instinct either, man. I'm sorry. Paul Pierce, at times he had the truth. You know what I'm saying? But it took KG. It took Ray Allen to get that out of him, man. It took the maximum amount to get out of that. And I get what they're all saying. And I look at KG and I'm saying, to me, he got the max out of everybody when he played with them. It was the motor that he consistently had all the time. So if KG is sitting there saying, the Thunder's got it, am I going to listen to Paul Pierce or am I going to listen to KG? Oh, I'm listening to KG every single time. Paul Pierce can go fuck a nickel. I'm all here about KG and saying, OKC's got it right now. They have got it. I want it. I want to keep going what they're doing. And that's what he's saying, man. And I'm telling you, if he's saying it, he knows what killer instincts it takes. And he's saying Shea and J-Dub and Chet all have it. Guess what? They fucking have it. Because that is one of the greatest players of all time to have a motor. I would say top five motor of all time. That's what KG was, man. He was a freak out there. And if he's saying the Thunder players have the motor, I'm putting it all in saying the Thunder players have that fucking motor.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at the depth. You got to look at the way things are going. You got to look at, ultimately, you've talked about this a lot, Dave, the changing of the guards. Like, sometimes, like, generations just fade all together at once, and a new generation kind of bursts through. And when that happens, a lot of people are caught off guard. I don't think it should catch people off guard when you see teams like the Lakers, like LeBron James not being at the top of the standings ever, you know, and the time he's played, it's the exception, you know, and it is a lot to do with age. It is a lot to do with that. I mean, same with Steph, you know, I get it. Like, Steph isn't breaking down, but like the team is, you know, the Warriors are, like, management and all this. It's not great. You look at all these people that we expect to show up and to make the playoffs their playground, right? And they're all aged. And then there's like an opportunity for a young core, a young group. But you're looking at it and you're like, which one of these young groups do you believe in? You know, like, Phoenix isn't really young, although they're unproven. You know, the Kings, maybe, but not really. Do you believe in the Timberwolves?
Celtics.
The Celtics. And I get it. Like, right now, for Paul Pierce and anybody who likes the Celtics, they'll be looking at it and saying, like, well, the Celtics would love a matchup with the Thunder. But, you know, if the Thunder don't win it in the finals, nobody's like, oh, that they completely are fucked. Right. But if the Celtics don't win it in the finals, people are starting to get a little nervous there in Beantown. So I think there's a lot more pressure on the Celtics.
I know.
And if we could find ourselves in a spot where Gordon Hayward's on our team, Mike Muscala's on our team, guys who were in the locker room for that Celtics team not that long ago, we're in the finals. I mean, come on, let's go ahead and play this game, Dave. All right. So, finals matchup, who's better, their best star or our best star? Well, let's just cancel each other out. That, we don't want to get into too much of a Shea versus Tatum debate. Okay. So then now we're talking about the rest of the team. Oh, before we get to the rest of the team, let's talk about who has the coaching advantage. Mm-hmm. Ah, there we go. Okay, I like that for the Thunder right now. Mark Daigneault is probably the man in that situation. I get some people would think otherwise,
yes.
But I'll go with Mark. All right, and then you go in down the list, Dave. Here's my question about this. Would you rather Brown or J-Dub? Second star option, you know, that once again, we can call that a wash. It's going to go back and forth either way. But what about third star? Okay, Porzingis versus Chet. Once again, we're sitting in a spot where our matchup is very interesting. It's not automatic where you're like, well, Boston, how about this? The rest of the starters, would you rather, you know, the rest of the guys for the Boston or the rest of the Thunder? I'm thinking it's another matchup that's pretty good. What about the bench? Man, we're talking about a really good series. Now, one team has a gun against their head and the other one can play free. That's the Thunder versus the Celtics right there. And if the Celtics don't get it done, you know, I mean, look at how they treat their stars who don't get championships in Boston. It's not good, guys. It's not good.
If OKC makes the finals against Boston, we'll see Shea's 50 playoff point game right now. If he doesn't already do it. Like, he, to me, like, look at what he's playing, guys. I think he's only made it across the 40 mark line only a few times this year. You know, like 40 minute mark only a few times this year. That's it. Like, Shea's getting the rest that he needs. Why? Because playoff is coming. Could we have won 3 more games if Shea had played 40 plus minutes in those games? Sure, maybe. But I would rather lose 3 games and be sitting in a really nice place for the playoffs, right? Then worry about those games for as far as rest goes. The other thing I want to bring up right now is that in the NBA, there's not a lot of teams that have gone 7-3, you know, 7-3 or better. In the West, there's 2 teams. All right, us, we went 7-3 in the last 10 games. Denver, 9-1, and we're tied at the top right now. First and second in the West, right? In the East, there is the Celtics, Milwaukee, and Orlando has sneaked in there somehow. But Celtics and Milwaukee, again, the top two teams in the East. It goes back to that killer instinct. These 4 teams in the East and in the West, the 2 teams in the East in the top and the 2 teams in the West in the top, they've got that killer instinct. They're pretty much the only 4 teams in the game right now that have gone 7-3 and better. And it proves to you what we're trying to tell you guys. These guys are ready to play. These guys are ready to score. J-Dub's ready. Shea's ready to put some more minutes in when it comes to it. And we're not betting against it because we love the Oklahoma City Thunder. But more so, if we were not a Thunder fan, we would see what's happening in Oklahoma City and we'd quickly become a Thunder fan. So all you new listeners out there across the world, we really appreciate you guys. We've got a lot of you guys. I know there's a lot of you. We appreciate every single time that you guys make a comment, that you give us a thumbs up. Whatever you guys do that makes me happy, I really appreciate you guys because it really does make a difference. And Mark and I going through things in our lives and to be able to have encouragement on there and letting us know that you guys are thinking about us always means a lot. So thank you guys.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate all the positive comments, obviously going through a tough time. And, you know, it goes, man. We continue on in honor of those who have fallen before us, as they say. So pour one out for your friends that aren't here anymore. We drink to you. We salute you and we love you guys. Thank you. And we will see you next time.